This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto, the Aftermarket Podcast Guy, bringing you a motivational episode with Craig Noel that will give you a much-needed boost to your day. Now, we're a vibrant, growing, and essential industry. I don't think you would disagree with me. And like many dynamic industries, we have obstacles to overcome that make what we do fun, yet challenging. How do we grow and meet these said challenges? Well, Craig Noel's passion for changing the perception of the automotive world is hard to miss in this episode. Keep listening and become the change agent that we need. And I thank you. Also, thanks to NAPA for providing this episode. You know, together we can fix the technician shortage by investing now in an apprentice program. Let NAPA help you. If you start now to grow your own, build your bench, you'll be better off in the future. And our future technicians can come from your concentrated effort. Contact your NAPA representative to learn more, or even just log in to member.napaautocare.com and get started. Hey, don't forget, you can find all live broadcasts during the week on my YouTube channel. Just search Carm Capriotto and subscribe. Hey, keeping you on the cutting edge of aftermarket talk. Hey, a warm welcome and so honored to be here with Craig Noel from Sun Automotive. Hey, man.
How are you?
I am great. Four locations, Springfield, Oregon. You're not busy, are you?
Oh my gosh, I am busy. I've got four locations. I've got two in Eugene, one in Springfield, one in Junction City, Oregon, and they are all within about a probably 15-minute approximation of, you know, location. So it's pretty close.
Hey, give me some awesome news.
Awesome news. Well, between my fourth location doing fantastic during COVID pandemic, you can't beat that. The awesome news. The awesome news is that things are going well. I think that the A shops are going to be poised to be very successful if we do the right thing. I'm excited about actually the future coming up. So that's the good news.
Maybe we should talk a little bit about that, because I know that you and I have had some deep think. You're doing a lot of forward looking. And with all the deep think that you're doing, you have to be planning ahead. And you need to be preparing your company to absorb the opportunities that are out there, both externally with customers and in growing a great company.
Yes. I think that part of it has to do with, just the gang that I've gotten to know over 10 years at ProService, but, you know, a lot of forward thinkers there, but we've all been kind of preparing for what now is in front of us. And the pool of technicians isn't shrinking, it's shrunk. And so to be prepared for what you're going to need to be prepared for going forward, I think is going to be extremely important.
Well, let's talk about four areas that I know you and I, you know, you could have gone on forever, but we said, hey, let's stop there. Let's do an episode talking about training, education, culture, and retention. And those are, in my opinion, Craig, things that the listener right now says, ooh, we've heard a lot about this. Love to hear Craig Noel's angle on this stuff.
Well, I'll give you kind of a quick synopsis of that. So look, here's the nuts and bolts of it, no pun intended. You know, for years, I think that our industry, at no fault of our own, by the way, has just kind of kept things too simplified. You know, over the last four decades, you know, we've seen and we've heard and we've dealt with the drive to the bottom on pricing. We've used technology to our detriment in the way that we've simplified things. And I think that we are on the verge of being able to turn those tables. It will be a hefty turn, don't get me wrong. But I think that, you know, everything that I laid out to you with regards to the training part of it, the culture part of it, and everything else, it really goes to being prepared for what's going to be coming around the corner. And I think that our industry is poised to be able to slow down, to speed up, because what is easy from some people's perspective, it's actually extremely complicated behind the curtain. And I think we, as the industry, need to start to educate the customer base so that they understand the complexity of what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and I think everything that you're talking about is stooped in a broad umbrella called professionalism, and I want to dive in a little deeper to the whole training piece and what you just said about slowing down to speed up. And I love the things that we talked about. Meaning, we need to train our technicians. There's no doubt, but riding the rails in a parallel form needs to be the service advisor.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as we start to shift our thinking as the industry and owner's kind of position and perspective, I think that it can start immediately at the front counter. So, for example, you know, we tend to want to hurry things up. We want to always say it like, you know, 1 o'clock, Mrs. Smith, this is what we've found on the vehicle. We'll have that done by 5 o'clock for you. Even though realistically, it's a 6-hour job, the technician can do it in 4. You're pushing to get it done at 5 o'clock. And why couldn't we have, in that moment, took a little bit longer to say, Mrs. Smith, look, the repairs are very complicated. It's going to carry us over to tomorrow. Is that okay? As simple as just that, right? To slow the process down so that everything on the back end is just more efficient and comfortable. I think that even as simple as that can be part that can be introduced, you know, into our advisors, because it's they're not explaining the complexities, and they just we need to slow it down.
You know, what I love about what you just said is it takes some pressure off. It allows you to do some good quality control at the end. It allows for a mistake to happen. And it also doesn't say that we're a wham, bam, thank you, man, industry.
Absolutely. I mean, for example, it was funny because I just responded to a post that was on one of the owners groups on Facebook. And it was a simple question about, you know, how we communicate to customers. And when there was this topic of evaporative control systems on a car, right, the evap system. And as the topic kind of blossomed, there was this debate about what we should and shouldn't know as the diagnosis and the results of what needs to take place in the repair. And the simple approach was this. Sometimes I believe it should be used strategically to be able to talk to a customer and say this. Mrs. Smith, we know right now these things need to be replaced. We can't continue testing until we do that. It's going to carry us over till tomorrow. What does that do? It leaves it open-ended. It doesn't give a final result like, oh, nope, it's going to be the vent valve or the purge valve or whatever it may be, and that's 100% going to fix your problem. Well, let me tell you know, during this one discussion that we had on Facebook, on the owners group, it was interesting how you replace that one component, and then all of a sudden, how many times has the technician gone up to the service advisor and say, well, I've got this little tiny pinhole now, and I got to find it. 4 hours later, because you promised a certain price point to the customer, now 4 hours is absorbed under your own belt because you don't want to look like you're calling a second time. And that's how all of this can slow down. Because until we know, here, I have this under my advisor's screen, Carm. It says right there in green, and it's laminated. It says, don't promise what you don't know. And it's 100% accurate.
I can't help but constantly draw parallels to the medical, let's get well, doctoring business. And what I heard you say was, if you go into the doctor and, you know, at the end of the day, he says, listen, we got to do these tests. And then you do those tests and he comes back and says, I know you're still not feeling well. I didn't find what I wanted. We have to do more. And we tolerate that as a people. You know, okay, I got to go for another round of tests. I got to go for another round of tests. And 3 weeks later, they may have found or discovered, because this A equals B equals C, it's not easy to be in the doctoring and medical business. And it's not easy to do what we do.
We, as the consumer, pay for the comeback. If it's another antibiotic, the first one didn't work, we're paying for the second one and paying for the second visit, right? So you're absolutely right.
So again, I go back to this whole dumb it down thing. You were telling me that you're doing repair order audits. We need to do a better job of adding color and value to the story. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. Look, a picture says 1,000 words, right? Well, look, when I do an RO on it, there are 2 things that I look for, right? Well, I want the spouse at home to be able to understand what happened, and then I want my competitor to be impressed. So I want to paint. I want to paint a good picture, because I don't want a phone call. Well, so, you know, so-and-so came home. I don't quite understand. Can you explain to me again? It needs to really paint a picture, and I think that our technicians could be trained whether that be sending them through to some simple writing courses, get them a little bit more, you know, audibly and verbally, you know, educated to be able to explain better. I think it's really important. I think the technicians also need to know, sell the job to the advisor, because they're basically a customer. Why would we not want to do that? Well, so, hey, look, Joe, I got to take the upper intake manifold off. The sensor's way down in the valley. You know, instead it's just, oh, I need a O2 sensor. Well, okay, that's great, but it's not painting a picture of value that can then be resold to the customer. And I don't even like the word resold, but described.
Communicated too. Should the service advisors be going to more technical training?
I think that they should. However, I think that we actually could take advantage as owners to be able to encourage them to go out and discuss. Now, we always say, here's the slow down, speed up benefit. So if we slow down so that we have less, you know, hectic, less of a hectic environment for our advisors to be working in, it means that they've got a little more time in their hands, I think, which is valuable. Because I think what now needs to happen is, we used to always say, stay out of the shop, stay out of the shop. I 100% disagree with that. I think that good communication and a good hands-on discussion about what's in front of them with the hood up paints a much better picture for them to be able to call the customer and talk about it. Why would we not want them to understand and get to know it?
You're absolutely right. By the way, I want to go back to the analogy that you made about making sure that the spouse at home really understands. We hang with friends all the time. You know, you're going to dinner, you're going to family things, hey, let's go to the movies. Hey, so what went on this week? I had a $1,500 car repair this week. Oh my God, you got ripped off. No, I didn't. You should have seen what stuff that they did. I saw the pictures. I did this and I did. And so you're right. You're so right, because you never know where that word of mouth, that recommendation is ever going to come from.
That's right. So if we take, for example, I can paint two simple pictures in about 30 seconds. If we say to ourselves, well, I had to replace the crank sensor and it's going to be $800.48. Gosh, I just replaced the sensor. It seems awful expensive. Oh, if I now depict it as like, I remove the upper intake manifold, you know, and really describe all of those components that have to come off to be able to then say reassembly, you know, talk about the software that we have to update and talk about everything that we have to clear, road test time. It certainly now makes it more complex. And that's the key right there, Carm. We have to slow down to be able to make this sound as complex as it is. We're not painting a false picture, because it is complex.
It is. Do you feel that you need to add staff at the counter so that you can slow down?
Not at this point. I think that if we do slow down, I think that it goes to a lot of things, but communication is important, right? Think about it as four quarters of football, right? So if you start the first quarter and you set yourself up, you're always looking for the fourth quarter on how you're going to be able to win the game, right? So if you set yourself up well, then the third quarter ends up being, you know, 80% less defensive phone calls, because at 11 o'clock in the second quarter, you've already now promised a vehicle for the next day, not today. So that's part of being able to slow it down so that they do have the time to spend either editing, you know, creating and painting the picture. You know what I'm saying?
Got it. Really makes all kinds of sense. So let's talk about, we were talking about training, but now let's talk about education. You know, a change in perception of a career as a technician and feeling, you know, cared for and involved. What's your take on that?
I can remember as a kid, I was not a scholastic achiever. I love to understand how a lawnmower came apart and went together. And I think that we need, as a country, as a society, to recognize the fact that kids are just like that. And so I think that right now, if you look at what we have to deal with on a vehicle, the vehicle nowadays are four times more complex than the Apollo rocket. Well, so 40 years ago, when you're talking about being a rocket scientist, that's a recognized career. That's a respected career path. Oh, that's education. That's extremely valuable. Well, let me tell you, if we now are automotive engineers, we really are, then why wouldn't it be respected and looked at as no longer a plan B? Why can't it be a plan A? Johnny wants to be, you know, a lawyer, wants to be an engineer. Oh, wants to be an automotive engineer. Why not? And I think that we're on the cusp of being able to change that, because, Carm, I see a time where, unfortunately, it's going to get to the point we're going to have less hands being able to work on these cars. And can you imagine a time where you've got your car at a repair facility for 2 months because they just can't get to it? Because there's no longer that, you know, subpar shop, unfortunately, down the street that's beating your prices at $86 a month, because they're not or $86 an hour, because they're not going to be able to fix the car anymore.
And to realize what that technician, that automotive engineer, technician, rocket scientist is going to have to be paid. And if you set the precedent now that you've got the right culture, the right training, the right education, the right benefits, you're going to have the best rocket scientists today and run a great company. Your future should be almost rock solid.
I would think so. And it's funny, if we put it in medical terms, right? Can you imagine a customer that may potentially have come in and you're trying to have a discussion about costs or things of that nature, and you literally, I've never done this, but can you imagine having a conversation, well, Mrs. Smith, when's the last time you had surgery? Oh my gosh, you know, we had my hip replaced about a year ago. Well, did you go to, I mean, not to diminish Mexico, but did you go to Mexico to have the surgery? Oh, no, I had it here. Well, why didn't you go to Mexico? It would have been thousands of dollars cheaper. Okay, so that's kind of the mentality if we think about this, right? Cost is no longer going to be what we have to consider here. It's a quality of person that's got your whole family now, not just your life, but your whole family's life, you know, in their hands, because your whole family's in the car, not just you.
Hey, Carm here. Find out what drives Craig. It will leave you inspired. Hi, Carm here, and I want to talk to you about the NAPA Auto Care Center program for health insurance. We've all heard the reports about the rising cost of health insurance, but you'll be happy to know I'm here with really good news. The NAPA Insurance Center is now offering the NAPA National Health Program, and it's saving NAPA Auto Care Centers and their employees money, lots of money. In fact, in the first 90 days following the launch of the program, NAPA stores and auto care centers and their employees saved over $2.7 million. That's all thanks to the NAPA Insurance Center's partnership with United Healthcare. It gives auto care centers access to the national large group rates on medical insurance with premiums discounted up to 30%. Now, these rates are based on the collective purchasing potential of 22,500 NAPA locations, including both NAPA Auto Parts stores and NAPA Auto Care Centers. And listen to this. The news just keeps getting better. You can choose from four excellent United Healthcare medical plans with varying levels of coverage and deductibles to meet a range of needs. All plans are PPOs, preferred provider organizations, with comprehensive coverage. Because of the NAPA Insurance Center's partnership with Aflac, you can have access to supplemental insurance benefits, including disability, accident, hospital, and more, all at a NAPA-only discount, up to 35%. The NAPA Benefits Center can help you with other group benefits, too, including group life insurance, retirement, HSAs, and more. NAPA's National Health Benefit Program is just one of the many reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Talk to your servicing NAPA store. For more detailed information about the NAPA National Health Program, visit the NAPA Benefits Center at www.napabenefitscenter.com or call the NAPA Benefits Center at 844-627-2123. Let's talk about community. Let's talk about the fact that we need to get out and tell people we've got great, unbelievable career in the automotive.
You know, there's been a huge disconnect. Again, you know, it's all, and I'm not trying to get necessarily political, but as 40 years ago, as you start to see shop classes and all those disappear from high school, whether that was, you know, a budgetary decision back at the time or not, you know, here we sit now full circle. We've gone from a generation that wasn't exposed to, you know, automobilia like I was as a kid, associated, you know, drive across the country in your good old-fashioned station wagon and loving cars. It's different now. And I totally respect that. But I think that we have a prime opportunity as the industry to be able to capture, you know, whether it's the PTA, the PTO, the school boards, and personally, not just try to, you know, send them a message. I mean, get in front of the student body, get in front of parents to be able to talk about how valuable and respected this career path may be. Can you imagine somebody spending, you know, the amount of money it takes to get out of college, you know, after 4 years to be able to start a career that you got a degree in communication with, for example, and it's $60,000 a year. Well, I can tell you that out of 2 years out of vocational school, if you're a superb diagnostician, you can make over $100,000 a year. But look at the comparison. That's stark.
You're right. But we have to stop telling people that they can come out of a 2-year school to earn $100,000, but they can start at a really respectable wage. And if they continue their education and their commitment to education and learning, then that could be closer than they ever expect to earn that kind of money.
80% true. The last hire that I got out of vocational school was so good at diagnostics, he just made over $100,000.
Well, there's an exception.
It's exception for sure. But I think that the potential there for even kids that are naturally wired is huge. So
we're probably losing some young people to the programming computer industries. And you're right. If they're that good, their mind and their hands, the way they learn comes to our place. Yeah, you're right. They could make a lot of money in a short.
Yeah, they've just never connected the dots and turned the switch on to the possibility, because half of the stuff that they know, the younger generation know currently in regards to simple gaming or communication, was leaps and bounds ahead of what I know now. Can you imagine?
And here's the problem. Yeah, Carm, Craig, okay, get it, fine. Keep going on the treadmill, keep driving in the car, keep doing your paperwork, because that's how people listen to this show. I get it, you're right. But no one does anything about it. No one goes to the schools. No one is holding open houses to bring in the parents to explain to them what's going on. It is our role. It is our job.
I believe so. And I think that in conjunction with where the industry is going over the next 24 months, I think that if we take advantage of getting in front of kids and students to be able to turn that light switch on, I think it's going to be so imperative to at least, you know, the 2 to 5 year range about getting some of these people and kids involved in vocational training.
Yeah. A friend, of course, a great contributor to the podcast, Patrick McHugh, holds, and again, you know, COVID knocked all that out, but he was doing a STEM class, open house. And he'd invite the parents to bring a child. They'd play with, you know, moving the headlights on the beamers, you know, with the computers and having so much fun teaching the technology side of the business. A couple of things. You gain new customers. You gain new customer trust. You could potentially find an apprentice someday to bring into the company. But you are teaching the young people that this is a computer on wheels. I think people know and respect that, but we haven't done enough to solidify. It's complicated, it's expensive, it takes time to learn this stuff, and we don't do much without a computer today, and that's where our future workforce is going to come from.
Absolutely. It's our job to get engaged.
Okay, my friend. I'm assuming because of the passion that you have, you've got a tremendous culture in your business. Now, there's a couple of cultures. You and I spoke about this, internal and external. Let's talk about developing a great place where people want to come to work.
That's probably the hardest thing to maintain. You don't want to go in with, you know, these big lofty one time and it's done type of an approach. You've got to be ready to go on a continual basis. And so I want to make sure that my staff basically has the time of their lives 80% of the time. Look, 20% of the time, yeah, they're going to have kind of a crummy day. It happens. You know, you got customers upset for whatever reasons that they are, personal lives or whatever. But it's teaming together those people that truly do have a passion for it, at least either A, people themselves, or our industry. And I think that's the catch. And then treating them like they are human, for crying out loud. I mean, I kid you not, Carm, just last week when I hired my new hire, he had enough when he had scheduled a day, an afternoon, to go take an ASE test. He returned from that test, and they just chewed him out for taking the time off to take an ASE test. What in the world are you thinking with regards to what message that sends the individual, let alone the 2 hours that you're concerned about supposedly for being off? My point is this, that I think that no longer do we have the thought that technicians need to take the time after work or the weekend time to start studying and getting smarter. I think we need to start paying them to take training during business hours, giving them the break, respecting family time, making sure everybody's got that time. As we talked about briefly, you know, it's COVID we just went through, and none of us, as far as shop owners or repairs go, we didn't stop a bit. We had to figure out how to continue on. Why? We're essential to the running of the country. So why not understand that link and just treat everybody within the company as just a big part of how successful you are together? That's the biggest thing.
So I'm going to get up on my soapbox, and say this. If you're an owner that would have treated a technician like you did coming back from an ASE, look in the mirror and just realize that you're not going to be here in the future. I mean, you're never going to be able to hire really good people. And based on how you made that technician feel, that's going to reverberate outside your company.
Absolutely. And so here we sit. Truth, hand on a stack of Bibles. He was the second to the last technician to leave the facility. The last one left. Carm, that shop does not have technicians right now. Can you imagine the thought?
No. It's easier to put the key in the door and say goodbye than attempt to even hold it up for 1995 oil changes so you can have cash.
Yeah. And we've seen it. We've had 7 shops over the last 16 months close, you know, and a lot of them are lower level. And so, you know, more power to us, I guess. But again, it just goes to making sure that you've got a line around the door of people that want to work for you. That'll also affect the external community, which is they keep chatting about it.
I love you told me that you knew this Patrick Swayze quote from one of his movies. He was doing bouncer training. God, I remember the name of the movie. And what was his famous quote from that?
You know, Patrick Swayze is a guy that comes in and he turns a bar around that's, you know, nasty and not doing well. And so he's talking to the current staff about how to deal with, you know, customers that are unruly and hard to deal with. And all Patrick Swayze says is, just be nice. You know, the employee who's sitting down says, well, I don't understand what you mean. He says, escort them out and just be nice. And it's just about understanding that, you know, we are emotional creatures and things happen. And, you know, just put the stuff behind the curtain and let it go. It's not personal. And what we deal with every day in our lives in this industry is, you know, their lives are disrupted. The kids and the wife and the spouse or whoever they're trying to figure out and adjust because of lack of transportation. So, again, it's just about being nice.
You know, the external culture, what people see from the outside coming in and how they're exposed to it. I've said this in podcasts before. I've said it as I've spoken to groups. And I said organizations they have a love factor. Oh, Carm, you're getting mushy on us. And I said, no, corporate love, business love is about caring for each other. And if you've got that, it breeds from the inside out. People can feel it and they can see it. So when you're saying just be nice, the tool truck drivers, the parts drivers, obviously, especially your customers, whatever, you know, it's almost like, why can't we be like the Ritz? Whatever it is you need, Mr. Customer, we're here for you. And just name it.
Absolutely right. We have this saying, it's like you better be nicer to the parts drivers than you are the customers, because they're the ones that see you every single day. So why wouldn't you think about the turkey day dinner that, you know, the parts driver and their family are around and one of them asks them, hey, you see all the shops during the day, which one do you think I ought to take my car to? Now, they're not going to answer based upon experience and technicalities or you would think no experience with their car. It's all going to be about what they see, which is what? Just be nice, right? Treat them with a smile on their face.
So to build a great external culture, what do you do community-wise?
This one's tough because I don't want to necessarily toot our horn, but, you know, look, I ask every day for the business to be blessed so that I can bless others. And, you know, one thing that drives me every day is that I always just try to help. I want to help people, whether it's understand our industry, understand what we're doing to their car or anything else. It's just a matter of connecting with people. I've always had that gift. So, you know, we do a lot. I mean, we get engaged with whatever may be current. For example, you know, out here besides the pandemic, we had fires last year. So we got involved with a movement called McKenzie Strong, which was help the people up in Blue River that lost all their houses. We gave away, we had a goal for the month and we surpassed the goal, raised $10,000 for direct local, you know, feeding of that community. We give a car away every year to, you know, a needy family in town. And just it kind of goes on and on. We have our finger to the pulse of the community. And if something's up, we like to get involved because it's just that's how kind of how I am. So we have fun with it, and I get the employee base involved in it, and they're excited about it.
So you're a pillar.
I don't know about that, but I do the best I can to try to get that out there. I think people see that, but here's the bigger one, right? This is so I have two little secrets I'll divulge. The first one is when you're dealing with trying to promote who you are, don't get lost in all the white noise, right? So pierce the white noise with the sincerity arrow. Because at the end of the day, when you're dealing with a situation, whether it's with an employee, a prospective employee, a customer, you know what the right thing is to do. So why would we make a decision to save ourselves $100 because it now becomes a business decision? It's not. There was a point where just 2 months ago, we bought a car from a customer who actually is our long-standing customer. They went out and bought a new car, but because they were frustrated with the situation, we couldn't get a specific part. It was grandmother's car. We said, hey, why don't we buy the car for you? We're going to go ahead and wait for the part. We're going to go ahead and use this car for our Keys for Hope program. If that's okay with you, I'd like to do that. And they just, what? I mean, yeah, look, if you're going to sell the car, why don't I just go ahead and, you know, we'll just make this easy for both of us. It was grandma's car. They thought it was wonderful that it would be able to go to a cause like that. And it's sometimes decisions like that, you know, maybe on its face to some, I guess, are difficult. For me, it's just super easy. It's like, look, let's just make this easy.
What a warm feeling I just got from you. It's amazing. And more and more and more am I hearing stories like this about helping people with communications. And you know why? It's because this is what we do.
It is what we do. Yeah. Let it all out, right? I think we should show everybody what we do, what we want to do, what we're passionate about, and who we care about, and stop on the side of the road when it looks like it's okay and help somebody and, you know, be a human again.
This has been great so far. Your fourth bullet point from earlier in the episode was retention. And are you speaking retention for your people or retention for your customer?
Both, Carm, both. At the end of the day, right, you want to make sure that if you follow the first three, the last one's going to be there. And I think that the retention part of it is that, look, at the end of my journey, I don't want to sit up there in some box and say, hey, look what I did. It's I want everybody to be at the same party looking back and going, look what we all did. Wasn't that amazing? And talk about all of the things that we did as a company to be successful, to give back. And that's the journey that everybody wants to be on. And that's what, by the way, that's what drives me to want to change the industry, because I think that we're so key to our country, to society that, you know, I really want to change the perception, Carm, of our industry. That's what drives me.
Both internal and external, because that's so much of what this episode has been about. Let me ask you a question about this $100,000 pay plan that we seem to be talking about. I've done tons of shows on it. And I think I can't afford to pay that person. And then, you know, then there's the other answer, you can't afford not to. And then I'd have to raise all my other people. And I think the problem in some of the think in our industry is that the $100,000 is cash. And in many cases, it's time off. It is health benefits, sometimes a shoe allowance, a uniform program, which most have, you know, longer vacation. All of that's the package.
It is. And you put that all together, Carmen, what do? You're able to affect a family's life. And that's what drives me. I mean, I like to see my technicians going out and being able to buy a new truck, or my service advisor who buys their first house. We're affecting their life. So why wouldn't we try to do the best that we can as owners to educate, motivate, inspire, and see them successful? Because it's everybody else that's successful around you that determines how successful you are, right?
I know that, you know, in pro service, you're with a real elite group of shop owners, but you still must know some people out there that can't fathom this. What do you tell them?
I'd like about 30 minutes in a room to be able to tell them what they really can do, not what they can't. And it's not as hard as you think. I think that it's just a different perspective that we all need to have now going forward. And I don't know, maybe I'm just lucky, but this is what drives me, Carm. I'd like to be able to inspire those people that you just mentioned to be able to do the same thing I'm doing.
If you run a business and you realize it's your profession and it is a professional organization, why would you not care about the goals and the dreams of your people and how you could help them realize them, because you're feeding not only their mouth, but all those extended mouths?
That's right. To give you a great example is that I've just gotten three of my key technicians, two of them retired, one of them after 38 years with the company, and then one of them who is relocating, and I've not had to put an ad out for people.
That's the weight, the bench that you have, and the bench that you've built by being a magnet and attracting great talent. I could just chat with you for 2 hours.
I'm telling you what, I'm hopefully going to be really making some marks on trying to help the industry over the next couple years. I'm really pushed to try to give it back, pay it back, pay it forward.
Look, at you and I need to talk again. We need to frame up another episode. I believe this is going to be one of those highly listened to ones, because you laid out many of the points that we talked about on the show kind of separately, but you've kind of put it all together. And your passion is an elixir to me, and I believe for so many other people. Last call, any final words?
I would like to make sure that everybody who's listening understands that it is within their ability to be able to do the same thing I'm doing. It's not rocket science. It's about how you treat people. Back away from the business decision, and you know what the right thing is to do every single time.
You nailed it, man. Craig Noel, Sun Automotive, out of Springfield, Oregon. Thanks for being here, man.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.